On the agenda. Right, so we're now on the children, young people's mental health, which is down to you, Catherine.
Thank you for having me this evening. So I'm here to present to you the Hampshire and Isle of Wight Local Transformation Plan, which is our local plan. Which talks about how we are going to improve children's mental health services. It's a plan that not only looks at how we're going to improve, but also looks back at what we've done to date. In 2015, all CCGs received funding by the Future in Mind initiative through NHS England, and as well as receiving funding to increase mental health access for children and young people, all CCGs were required to write a local transformation plan that was to be refreshed annually and update NHS England as to how we are using that investment. With that also came particular targets that we have to meet as local CCGs to ensure that we are increasing access for children and young people. The 2019 plan is the first joint Hampshire and Isle of Wight plan, and while some of our priorities are absolutely aligned with both areas, we have tried to be really careful in making sure that we make it really clear about the differences between the two areas. Now, I think it's fair to say that both Hampshire and Isle of Wight local transformation plans in the past haven't been the strongest that they could be, and that's the feedback that we've had from NHS England. One of the two areas that we've not been as strong as we could have been is on local, understanding local needs, and also being clear on what it is that we want to do. Those are probably the two areas that we've fallen down in the past, and also as well engaging children and young people and families. This year's plan, I'm pleased to say, was reported by NHS England as being the strongest plan to date. Now, I'm not saying that there's not room for improvement, because we absolutely know there is, but it was really nice to receive that feedback. And what we want to do is use the 2019 plan as a baseline and a live document to continually update it throughout the year, rather than wait until it's due next winter and quickly pop something together within 6 weeks. We want to use it as a live document, and that's what we'll be doing with all of our partners. So we've had system-wide input, we've had engagement from children, young people and families, but we feel that we can do more. So that's something that we will be actively seeking over the next 12 months. Now, the plan is a good 80 pages long, and I don't by any means feel that it was necessary to go through the plan tonight. Let's be honest, we don't have time, and also the presentation. But if everybody's agreeable, I'd like to just highlight some key points which I think would be really useful. One, our target by 2021 is to increase access for children and young people by 35%. The target for 1920 was 34%, and the Isle of Wight has exceeded that target, meeting 60.6% for 2018-19. Now, that is down to not only the autism services coming on board and seeing more people, more children and young people, but also our third sector organisations who have worked really, really hard to develop the IT infrastructure in order to upload to NHS databases. And that's something that was never in the original plan. NHS England expected CCGs to continue to use trusts that already had that existing infrastructure. And we all know that community services, third sector services, are the absolute experts in reaching out to children and young people, but they don't have the infrastructures to go with that. So they've worked really, really hard, really only over the last 12 months, to get to a point where they can upload the data to the national systems. Some local progress that I'd like to highlight. In Hampshire, we have been successful in the mental health support team in schools bid through NHS England, which is a government initiative in providing mental health support and capacity within secondary schools. Now, up until very recently, the Isle of Wight haven't been able to apply for this bid, as we have been out of, you have to be a particular distance away from the nearest higher education setting in order to train the workforce. Up until now, the nearest education setting for the Isle of Wight has been in Reading, and we have been out of the running, essentially. When we were successful in Hampshire this year, we highlighted that with NHS England and said, look, you know, the Isle of Wight is absolutely ready for this kind of support in schools. We're really lucky in that Southampton is now a higher education setting, so we will be able to bid early next year in January. And because of the conversations that we've had with NHS England, we have been earmarked as a potential pilot site, assuming the bid is strong enough. But we have been involved in both the Hampshire and the Portsmouth bids, which were both successful. So we feel that we've got a really good, strong chance in getting that success. We have been working on redesigning our autism pathways. We know there's still work to go, and we are looking to procure a needs-led service from early next year. We're really excited about it. It includes some joint commissioning arrangements with our local authority colleagues in terms of early help. It includes post-diagnostic support, and we are now working with children and young people and parents to co-design the respect. So we've worked with our health professionals, our local authority professionals, to start looking at a draft spec. We're now going to be taking that to the next stage and making sure that children, young people and parents are really happy with it. We talked about our safe haven, and also something that we launched to the Children's Trust Board this afternoon is the Think Ninja digital self-help app for children and young people. We have been using the self-help app in Hampshire, and I'm delighted to tell you that we are looking to roll it out to children and young people in the Isle of Wight. 10,000 children and young people will have access to this app. We are working to make sure that it is a practical and suitable solution for children and young people, but essentially it is that very first stage of emotional support, mood regulation, the very, very low levels of mental health support. So we're working with our mental health and tier 2 counselling services to make sure that it's a fit for purpose app, and it will be primarily secondary school led. We're really excited about that. And the latest bids that we have just put in for winter pressures support this year, we're looking, hoping to get the result in early December, is to include crisis support for children and young people in ED departments over the weekend and the weekdays, and is also a digital solution for our CAMHS website. So at the moment, our CAMHS webpage is a web page. It's got a contact number and little else. We're looking to turn that into an online portal of resource for carers and parents, for professionals and children and young people. We're hoping to hear about that very soon. But what both these bids should see is some really, really strong movement in terms of support for children and young people, for early intervention and at crisis as well. You will note that on the draft local transformation plan, for those of you who've had a chance to read it, there's a couple of missing pieces of data. It is a draft plan. We are still working on it. One is around adoption data for the Isle of Wight, which we now have, which we'll be copying it in there. We wanted to align the data exactly with Hampshire's, with the format certainly, and also some figures around mental health attendance and ED, which we now have as well. So the draft will be completed with those inputs, and I have that deep data for anybody that's interested. So the local transformation plan talks about where we've come from, the journey that we've come from in terms of mental health, and where we want to be. And the difference that it will make to children and young people is that the needs will be identified and responded to much earlier, which will help reduce complex conditions and episodes of crisis. We want parents and carers to feel better supported, confident and equipped to better manage distress behaviours in the home. We want to help schools become upskilled and more confident to offer support that complements home-based interventions and the services that are currently out there. We want children and young people to achieve better outcomes educationally, emotionally and socially. We want to reduce transition to adult services where possible, but also improve transition to adult services where children and young people still need that support. We want to reduce attendance in A&E departments. And we want children, young people, parents, carers, professionals to have access to seamless support services that are able to provide appropriate interventions in a timely way. So the next steps for the local transformation plan is approval and sign off at a number of bodies, including this one. So for the Isle of Wight, we took it to Children's Trust Board and received support this morning. We have the today's session, the Isle of Wight Policy and Scrutiny Committee, and also the Isle of Wight Health and Wellbeing Board in January. So once we have that approval and sign off of the draft, we'll make final amendments, and then we'll also adapt the plan to include an easy read version. We will include a summary document, so it's not a huge 80 pages long, and it just gives the key information for those who just need to be able to scan it. But we publicise the document, and we will immediately start to work towards the 2020 Local Transformation Plan. Right.
Who would like to start? Right, if Councillor Love, and then up. And Sean.
I am really pleased to hear that there's some progress taking place. If my mailbag says anything and talks to me, it always talks to me about mental health provision for young people. The winter pressures, I'm really, I'd like to know what the winter pressure plan, I'd like to know when is that kicking in, because what I'm hearing is urgency about particularly A&E, on at least two occasions I've been challenged recently by different people that I don't know, who just happen to come to me. And some of it's anecdotal, I know, but the fact is that they have said to me, we've been there, my child made a suicide attempt, it was a weekend, and we were told to come back on Monday. Totally unacceptable, because for a child to end up there, it takes a hell of a lot of, and to go away for a period of reflection. That child's reflected an awful lot to be able to end up trying to, take their life. And so I'm really, really interested in this particular area, because I think it urgently needs to be addressed on the island. Now, I have to confess that I haven't had a chance to look at your document, so I'll be really honest about that. But what I would say is when is this document going to be completed, so that it's out in the public? When are we going to see some changes to that winter pressure? In fact, actually, I want to think beyond the winter pressure. I want to think of it as a long-term project.
Yeah.
There needs to be a young person. It's no use people coming down from the mental health team to see a young person who's 15 and they're from adult services. It needs to be appropriate to the need. Sorry, Chair, I am talking this way. My apologies. And I really do agree that the way forward is through education. I'm not trying to politicise this now, I'm just saying that for me it's about making sure that all secondary schools particularly have access to regular counselling services. I am very aware of the very good work that is going on within the Youth Trust, but the Youth Trust do not have any legal responsibilities for that. And also they don't have the expertise to support young people with they've got expertise, but they haven't got clinical expertise, and that is what is really needed on this island. So I've thrown a lot at you there, but I mean, I remain concerned about that particular area, because even when we have a referral from A&E, it can be 6 weeks before somebody is given an assessment. And if they need chemical intervention, drugs, to help that, 6 weeks is a long time for you as a parent to sit there being terrified about little Jane being possibly taken a life. And those are the real things that for me jump out. So I'm pleased to hear that you've said something about how you're addressing that, but quickly, please, as quickly as possible.
Right. Councillor. Sorry.
Are there any points that she wants?
Do you want?
If you wouldn't mind. And yes. Thank you so much for those questions. And the questions that you've raised are absolutely the conversations that we are having at the moment. So it's really nice to know that we're heading in the right direction. So winter pressures money specifically, we will be hearing early December, and the whole point of it is to use it pretty much immediately. So if we are successful, the money will go straight to the trust, and the trust will be using it from day one. I really.
When is that? Sorry.
So hopefully by the 6th of December we will hear. That's the lead time that we've been given by NHS England. Now, there is a crisis team, and what's badged as an all age crisis team within the trust. Mm. We have been made aware, and I'm glad we've been made aware that there aren't any children specific trained staff within that. So our CAMS team have immediately gone out to start training those people, because they are commissioned, they are paid to talk to children and young people. Now, the crisis service is only a telephone triage, so that's not enough for us, but it's a start. I'm really glad you raised the period of reflection, because absolutely, a child or young person that has been in that time of crisis absolutely should be given a period of reflection. However, it should be in an appropriate and safe environment. And I think that's something that we absolutely have to make sure happens. By saying go away and sit at home and have a period of reflection isn't safe for that child at all.
No.
So we are working really closely with the CAMHS team to ensure that there is some out-of-hours crisis support. The winter pressures is a gift, and we hope that we get it. But actually, our CAMHS team also do have funding for out-of-hours crisis, so they're working to put something in anyway. What we can't do is rely on winter pressures money.
No.
We absolutely can't. As well as the services that I've talked about, also the NHS 111 service have been trialling children's trained staff within Hampshire for a number of months, and that's proved really, really successful. That's coming to the Isle of Wight in the early part of next year, and in Hampshire there's been a significant reduction in the number of attendances of children and young people to ED, so we know that's coming as well. The Isle of Wight Youth Trust are commissioned to provide tier 2 counselling services to us, but I get what you're saying around the clinical input. So we are working with our CAMHS team, who have that clinical input, not only to put crisis services in place, but also to try and think a little bit more wider about what else we can provide. So CAMHS at the moment, and it is in the weekday and we want to expand it, have allocated key workers during the week. So if a child walks into CAMHS with in a position of crisis, they will be immediately seen by that CAMHS worker in the week. The CAMHS waiting times at the moment, the routine waiting times, are 2.6 weeks for assessment and 3.8 for treatment. And they're urgent. Their urgent times in their core hours they meet them every time. But it is that out of hours that we need to follow up on. So we're hoping that between the winter pressures bid and between the crisis money that's already there, the all-age crisis service responding to children and young people, and our supporting Safe Haven, children will start to feel more support and there will be more services there. But I absolutely agree with you. This isn't something that we can wait for. We are working on it now.
May I just have a quick supplement, just for clarification? So the money, you're saying starting from the 6th of December, I'd like to, so when does that finish? I want to understand the period of time that covers, so that, because that's the amount of time that we've got to work on a solution. And the other thing is that, you know, 2 to 3 weeks of assessment, I'd like us to reach for the sky. I'd like us to be a bit braver than that and try to get that waiting time down to under a week even. And I don't know how we do that. And I find it really bizarre that we're at this stage now that we don't have a young person's train. You know, we haven't. What have we been doing for the last 30 years? Why is it just now? So I'm just trying to. We need to look forward rather than backwards. But I'm just highlighting that I find that bizarre that there was no young person's worker within that team. But really, if you could just identify those two things. When does that money run out? Because that's the time, that's the period of which we've got to work to. And can we really see if we can stretch ourselves to get that time down? That's what.
The winter pressures bid, if we're successful, and I think we have to use that as a caveat, I'd like to think we would be, because it's a strong bid.
What do we do if it's not?
We will be focusing on the other business as usual arrangements. So there is existing monies that have come down from Future in Mind to add to children's crisis. It won't be 24/7, but it will be out of hours, so there will be something. In terms of the winter pressures, if we're here on the 6th of December, we need to spend the money by March. Now, that doesn't mean the service runs out in March. That means we give it to the trust, and the trust will then use it to put in services. I can, because it's not commercially sensitive, I can tell you that the funding that we have requested for is $100,000. To provide out-of-hours crisis support for children and young people. And what that also includes is home treatment as well. So we're responding to children at the right time if they present to A&E in times of crisis, and we're getting treatment at home so they can have their period of reflection in a safe place, but with absolute support from CAMHS. In terms of the waiting times, the 2.6 for assessment and the 3.8, those are for our routine waiting times. The NHS target is 4 weeks for assessment and 18 weeks for treatment. Now, in Hampshire, we're way off that. So for routine, what's classed as routine, that's incredibly good. For the urgent and the emergency referrals, which are 24 hours and 4 hours, depending on which one it is, we are meeting those targets.
Right. Good, yeah. Thank you. Councillor Downer?
Wow. I think that Carl's covered most of what I was going to ask.
Sorry.
No, it's all right. But what I would say is that looking at here on page 8, it's got until April 19, and then it's got from April 19. Why on earth has it taken so long to get to these bits on April 19, the improvements, years? And I've got personal experience of CAMHS because our youngest daughter went there. And it was, I hope you're not going to be offended by this, because it was about as much use as a chocolate teapot. Yeah, that's what it was like.
No offence taken at all. I have to say it is slightly difficult for me to comment because
no, that's okay.
Since last year the governance arrangements have changed quite significantly. And Isle of Wight Children's Health Services are now with the Hampshire and Isle of Wight CCG partnership. So we're a collaborative of children-specific commissioners.
This was a long, long time before I ever come to the council, but it was heartbreaking.
I'm sure it was.
Yeah, and the national initiative, they don't think about people. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. People matter. And it all seems to me, with the lots of things, it's all about statistics and having talking shops and that, instead of just getting on and doing the job. I do apologise,
no,
but I feel quite strongly
about it. Please don't, because that's the reason why I'm in my job, because I feel passionate. I think some of the interventions that we're putting in place, the early interventions, the self-help app, getting kids here before they deteriorate to a much later stage is really, really important, and we'll see change.
May I have a supplement,
yeah,
please? My wife, before she retired, worked in a preschool, and I'm going to speak about autism now. And the thing is they could pick out children that had that. And why does it take so long before they're diagnosed?
So there's a couple of points on that.
Right.
NHS England recommend that a child from 5 years and above should be diagnosed and not below. And the reason they do is because some of those, I absolutely agree, some of those symptoms and signs may be there, but a child doesn't fully develop until they are 5 and above. And that's why NHS guidance states 5 and above, because with autism being a lifelong condition, once a child is diagnosed, they're diagnosed for the rest of their life.
Mm.
We recognise, though, that regardless of a diagnosis, if the need and the behaviour is there, then absolutely we need to do something about that rather than diagnosis. So part of our new pathway will be from 3 years and above, and it will be immediate treatment. So we're switching ground. So what will happen is there will be intervention via a primary behaviour service that we're commissioning jointly with the local authority, occupational therapeutic services, so sensory needs and speech and language will be bolstered by extra staff. We've had this signed off by the CCG, so the money is there and ready to go. Those services will help treat children at a much younger age. So when they're ready for a diagnosis, not only will they have been treated, there'll be an action plan for the school when they get to school age, an action plan for the home for parents to feel more supported. When they get to the stage that they're ready for a diagnosis, we're hoping that the child would understand why they're feeling and thinking in a particular way, and so will the parent.
Mm.
We're not trying to delay, we want to put intervention first. So I think it's a really good point. Thank you.
And thank you, Chair. And I'll publicly like to apologise,
yeah, sure,
if I was offensive.
Not at all.
Because I've got a bit worked up, I do apologise.
Yeah. Right, Sean, you and then
on
John.
On this document, are you going to put milestones in place so that someone can come back and report to hear how far this document is coming on? Also, about the ASD, I have a neighbour who's just got their letter for diagnosis and they've been waiting 2.5 years. And the other thing is, Bernardo's appears several times in here. It says contract for renewal would expire 2020. Well, when you go through the council, it applies to everyone. They take almost £2 million. Are they £2 million worth of expertise?
I've raised this before.
So, milestones, within the report itself, there won't be specific dates, but as part of the plan, we're taking out the actions and the priorities within that, and we will be developing an action plan with clear milestones when things will be delivered, and that will be monitored by a number of groups on the island and in Hampshire.
Yeah, it's just a wish list of, I'd like to do this.
When could we expect that?
The plan, we're working on it at the moment. Well, actually, I would say certainly the draft plan by the end of December.
We
need to be approved by the bodies, but within our team, we're working on the plan at the moment. In terms of Barnardo's, they, for the NHS specifically, they carry out one of our counselling contracts, and they also carry out parenting for children with ASC and behavioural needs and ADHD as well. The feedback we've had is actually very, very positive, especially for parents, because they're starting to feel equipped and they've gained some knowledge. We've run a couple of engagement events as well and had a Barnardo stand at the engagement event, and parents have been able to take resources with them. One restriction before we came to the island was that the CCG had commissioned Barnardo's to see children when they had an autism diagnosis. Mm. So behaviour that was similar to ASC but not diagnosed, or other challenging behaviours, the parents weren't able to be seen. We've lifted that restriction now, and it's around challenging behaviour and the needs of the parents and the children and young people. And we do think they're value for money. Mm.
Thank you. Councillor Howe.
Thank you, Chairman. I just want your opinion on something.
Okay.
years ago, we used
keep
to
keep it
have,
short, John.
I will keep it short on Chair. They used to have, once a year, a meeting up at the college for parents with children with autism. And they had speakers up there, and parents could actually listen to the speakers, ask questions, and actually make a judgment themselves. But that seems to have ceased, and I think it's a shame, because it's always a good thing that parents have the opportunity to hear about autism, because they hear from other parents that my child's got autism, but this is what happens. But they don't know, and they feel that they haven't got anyone to communicate with. And I always think it's nice that they can go once a year, and I mean, it was always very well attended, to listen to the experts and to other parents that are probably in the same position that they're in, to actually help them. And I think that that would help everybody if that still existed. Thank you.
I agree, thank you. So we have had two engagement events to date where we have done exactly that. We've talked about the services. We've had professional providers who are carrying out the assessment so parents can talk to them. We've had OT, our occupational therapy teams, our speech and language teams, and our parenting teams all attending the events for parents to interact with. The most recent one, we had our local authority colleagues, we had special education needs and social care there. And I actually was talking to my deputy director today, and we were saying how useful they were to parents and how we'd like to keep them on an annual basis. On top of that, our occupational therapy team have been funded to provide emotional regulation training, not only to all schools across the island, but also to run parent workshops. So the minute a child is referred into OT, the parent workshop is offered, which does exactly the things that we were talking about, advice and guidance and peer support on how children with presenting with traits of ASC, the support they needed, that they need. Over 200 school staff have been trained to date since April in terms of emotional regulation training. We have a Facebook page which is dedicated to our autism services, which has now got just under 350 parents, and we put advice and guidance, and parents are talking and supporting each other. And we have a neurodevelopmental conference that was arranged and facilitated by Parents Voice. That happened only a few weeks ago and was attended by a number of
speakers.
And where was that? That was held at the Riverside Centre.
Well, I've never seen it advertised. This one was always well advertised and always had the opportunity for all parents to attend. And it wasn't highbrow stuff. It was always very low, but parents who don't understand what their children's reaction is, to actually understand what the position of their child is. And maybe it's just bad behaviour or whether it's autism, but they don't know, and they're struggling because they go to these meetings and there's always people who speak across them but don't actually explain the things that are going on, and therefore they don't actually understand, but they're too afraid to ask the questions. And I think that these things where there's parents there who they can actually speak to are in the same position.
Can we finish
I've
it?
I've done.
Yeah, right. Would you include the neurodiversity that was held at the Riverside a couple of weeks ago? Was that one of the ones? Yes, because I attended that. Right, Councillor Brady.
If you go back more or less 2 years, we were sitting around in the chamber, moaning and groaning about our autism service. We didn't have one. A 4-year waiting list. I went to a really volatile meeting up at Barton, which was horrible. We were going absolutely nowhere. Catherine and Angela came on board. Catherine sat down with me and said, "What we're going to do? We're going to get these two new companies on board." Which I said that won't work very well because I didn't think an online offering would be what the Isle of Wight wanted. And I said, "There's a big problem with links between autism diagnosis and the HCPs and the overall process." Where we are now is absolutely incredibly so far forward. We're not talking about autism, because that wouldn't be crap, that. We're less than a year's waiting list now. We're pushing a better service. And you said earlier, it's all about, not about diagnosis, it's about the pathway. And the pathway, you described it to me as a roundabout. You've got a child on the roundabout, and you get off the appropriate stop for the appropriate help that they need. And just whatever help the child needs, whether it be an OT, referral, or whatever, we now do that. And the engagement event I went to at the Riverside that all members were invited to, Vanessa was there, the parents were so on a different, it was totally different, wasn't it? So I want to say thank you so much for everything you've done. There's guessing more to do, but we are so much further forward than we were 2 years ago. I want to publicly say thank you.
Yes, Councillor Love.
Thank you so much. I think progress has been made. How we got into this state is a different bit, isn't it? So progress has been made, but I am just trying to tie it down a little bit more, because I'm still not clear enough about where we're going, because I can see that we've got some short-term plans, you know, in terms of 100,000, wonderful if we get it. If we don't get it, we haven't progressed, have we? We've got a little bit in terms of how we can pull down money, but we need to be looking beyond that. And so there are some time-critical things here, I think, that are happening. And it's great that we've got the opportunity to bid for additional funding. But we are here and now, and there are children out there who are not safe, potentially, because of the system that we have in place. So I really do want to tie that down in terms of the measurements that you've talked about and the milestones. And the milestones doesn't mean anything to me. I want something more concrete than that. We will do this. And okay, if we don't hit it, then we don't hit it. But at least we've set that in stone so that we can measure where we are. And, I'm still really concerned that around the funding, in the old days, we had family liaison officers, in those schools. In most schools, we've lost some tiers of service. And I think that we need to try and start putting back some of those tiers of service which are about the prevention and the education welfare officers and so on. That's why I think we've ended up in a position where it's difficult. Yeah. But I'm saying we need to reach for the sky, and we need to be, we're doing what we're doing now. We put into place those milestones, and we don't put easy milestones there. That's why I say about, the national referral might be 2 to 3 weeks, okay? But why can't we try and set it sooner than that and find the money to do that? So, because I think there needs to be some urgent work on this, because this is what is coming, through the sorry, the hustings and things, there were lots of questions about mental health. It's clearly a big public concern.
Yeah.
So there needs to be a reassurance there. So I'm just trying to nail it down as tightly as we can.
Carl, I think I'll get you to speak for me next time because the chairman keeps shutting me down.
Yeah. I am conscious that it's going
right
on
so,
a bit.
But we're
and really,
about it, aren't we?
The point is, we do need questions because it's very difficult for Catherine.
Well, that's the
if
question.
She gets
I
a monologue, by the time you've finished, she might not remember what the actual question is.
Would it be helpful to share our action plan with our timescales and our
members? Yeah,
yes, please. Yeah.
Would that
yes,
be
please.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Catherine.
Any more questions?
No.
I have just one query, please. On page.
Not too long, sir.
No. C12, the second paragraph. I'm not going to read it out. It's lawyer's language. I cannot understand what it says. I hope I'm not.
And my apologies, Chair. I do have to read well.
Right, okay. C12, the second paragraph, the Children's Programme Board will oversee, and it goes on and on and on. And I just do not understand what it's saying.
So this refers to our STP programme, which is an NHS initiative around transformation. STPs are collected into groups. We have Hampshire and Isle of Wight Children's STP programme, and it's about huge transformational change. It specifically talks about new models of care. New models of care is a programme that's looking into and supporting children with long-term mental health crisis and tier 4 serious conditions, so not easily treatable conditions, and it's around bed placements, making sure that they have appropriate bed placements so they're not shooting off to far away in other parts of the country, and bringing children back closer to home and providing treatment in the home.
You put it beautifully. I think I know what you're talking about now. Right, do we have any other questions for Catherine?
No.
Catherine, thank you very much. You've withstood it very well.
Thank you
for your support and thank you for coming. You're quite welcome to stay if you wish.
Yeah.
No, but as I said, thank you.